In today's video, I wanted to discuss an incredibly complicated and emotional topic that even up until 3 months ago, I wasn't fully on board with yet. And the topic is elite gender inversion. Now, if you are not familiar with this topic by now, I am warning you that it is very triggering. The research sounds fucking crazy, and some of this is mind-shattering. So I discovered this topic almost 2 years ago through Twitter and am now just able to discuss it maturely with research to back it up. But when I was researching this topic over the last couple years, I got really depressed. And anytime I would go down this rabbit hole, I would get super depressed and would have to take time away from the subject. So I had to do this in very small doses. This is still one topic that I will not bring up with anyone. This isn't like COVID. This isn't like a mask. This isn't like a vaccine. This goes so much deeper than anything. This might be the most fucked up conspiracy slash truth that I've ever had to discuss. I can't even really talk to Tim about it. It's just something that very few people can accept and see. So if you don't want your world shattered today, I suggest you just turn this video off and carry on. But if you think you are ready to go down the transgender rabbit hole with me, just understand that this is a very sensitive subject, and please don't send me any hate. I want to give a shout out to my friend Jeff. Jeff in LA. Jeff is great because he has been holding my hand recently through this the last few days. I've been really hesitant on recording and putting this research out because of how depressed it has made me. And Jeff is one of the very few people on earth that I recently met who is on that level of people who can handle it. Pretty much most people on my Instagram are the people that I've met. I'm so thankful that I have met that can handle these kinds of topics. And I love it because after I record, I will hear from a few people and we'll talk and discuss. And it's just nice to have people that understand how deep everything goes and can handle it because some people just cannot handle it. And with that being said, I wanted to say hi to my good friends, Denise and Mike. I love you guys. They have really helped me just in the last 6 months get through this conspiracy PTSD, which I like to call it. So anyway, let's get started. So where does the idea of gender inversion come from? So when I went way back, took me back to 1911, and the transgender business across Europe is actually astonishing. So if you go back and research the royal families just over the last 100 years and look at some of these pictures of these so-called princesses, you can clearly see that they are cross-dressing. Now, whether they are actually cross-dressing or they are transvestites, we will never know. And cross-dressing goes all the way back to the Hebrew Bible. But the actual term cross-dresser comes from the Anglo-Saxons, the royals, the Europeans. Not to be confused with a transvestite. This is they are very different. Transvestism is the practice of becoming the opposite sex, which we are now familiar with the term transgender. But transgenderism is done as a form of religion and ceremonial practice. And we hear all about transgenders in the media, but they fail to explain why this is happening. It's exactly like with the Russia-Ukraine thing. We hear all about it, but they're not telling us why this is happening. You know, so why do we have trannies in grade schools doing story hour? You know, why do we have advocates for children to be on puberty blockers when they are babies? Well, the truth is the trans agenda is gaining momentum and speed that cannot be stopped. And it's very apparent. And going back to cross-dressing, you know, this is more of a fetish or a taboo behavior that goes on behind closed doors in modern history. But cross-dressing has also been a way for men to avoid going to war. You know, some men have said that they just prefer to wear women's underwear because of the comfort, and they like the clothing, and they like wearing makeup. And, you know, other men have said that they cross-dress strictly for shock factor. It's also been documented that people in the CIA and journalists have cross-dressed to go undercover. Now, this makes sense. And back in 2020, I was talking to a recruiter from Project Veritas, and he had stumbled upon my Tavistock video when I was back on YouTube. Now, if you haven't followed me since 2020, I had 3 YouTube channels get taken out during the YouTube purge. So anyway, at first I wasn't sure if it was a joke, but this guy from Project Veritas, you know, asked if I would be interested in doing some undercover journalism. And I asked, you know, what would be expected of me. And he said I had to email him my driver's license. And they wanted 3 photos of me dressed in drag. They wanted to see what I would look like as a man. And they wanted to see what I would look like dressed in like Muslim garb. And then they said that if I made it to round 3, I would be relocated to either New York or Washington, D.C. So obviously I was interested at first, but obviously I wasn't going to get relocated. I have a family and didn't want to move, but I did entertain it for a minute. But I thought it was interesting that they wanted me to dress in drag. But it kind of makes sense. And, you know, I explored that idea for a minute, and I've never dressed as a man, and I would feel so uncomfortable dressing up like a man. And I definitely don't want to see what my face would look like with facial hair. Like, I just enjoy being a woman. I like looking like one because I am one. So to get into the headspace of changing genders, you know, it might come more natural to some people. It might feel more comfortable, but that's something that I just can't go there. I think the majority of people just don't want to go there. But going back to the royals, now when you Google the princes and dukes and all these European royalty family members from the 1900s, the male qualities in these photographs, I mean, they just jump out at you. They just plainly look like men in drag. And like I said, whether they're actually cross-dressing or they're transvestites, we will never know. This was over 100 years ago. Now, you might want to grab a piece of paper and a pen because I have a ton of names. So if you're interested in looking these people up, I suggest writing their names down. And then after this video, go Google all these people and tell me what you think. So the first guy, Google this. Well, it's a princess. Princess Nicholas of Greece and Denmark. Okay, her name is even Nicholas, which is a man's name. Clearly a man. Look up Queen Margrethe of Denmark. The forehead, the neck, the sunken eyes. This is a man. Okay, now go look up Princess Helen of Denmark. This looks like a man in a crown and a dress. Okay, now Google Queen Louise of Sweden. This is the craziest one. It's like he's not even trying to hide the fact that he's a man. He has a huge head, huge forehead, a big Adam's apple, huge neck, huge hands. Okay, so it was very rare that these elite royals were ever really seen in public. They weren't even photographed that much. And so it was probably a little easier to get away with, you know, the gender inversion because the people that they were surrounded with all knew. And it's not like they had to be out in public. You know, this was a private thing, a ceremonial thing between the elites that they honored. So it's really mind-blowing to look back at these alleged princesses and queens and see that they are clearly men. And I know some people have a really hard time seeing it, but, and again, this took me like 2 years to get to the point where I am. So give yourself some time. And I think as time went on, you know, now we have puberty blockers, plastic surgery, Photoshop, photo filters. There are so many tools for these rich people. And it's really geared for the people with money. So I think it's fair to say that this practice of transgenderism never ended. And in fact, they actually got better at it. They got better at hiding it. And they started younger. They started grooming these kids younger. I mean, look at Hollywood. You've got all these A-list celebrities that are transitioning or transgendering their children from the time they're babies. You know, and so I just question, why would anybody want to change their gender and pull off this deception on a global scale? Well, the more I dug, the more I found out that this really goes back to Freemasonry. And I'm going to get into that. But Margaret Thatcher famously said of Herbert McCabe, quote, "He is not one of us." There has been much speculation on what she meant by that. Well, go Google Margaret Thatcher. Go Google Margaret Thatcher when she was 12 years old. She clearly looks like a boy. It's crazy. But it's not crazy when you know that the elite and the Knights Templar worship Baphomet. And we know all this is about the androgynous god of these elite societies. Can't deny that. There was an article published by the CIA in 1955 called, quote, "The Unspoken Rules for the You and the Non-You" by Nancy Mitford. Now, the you stood for upper class, and so the non-you would be somebody like me. Now, go Google Nancy Mitford. That is a man. Okay, so hearing Margaret Thatcher say, Herbert McCabe is not one of us, it makes me wonder if she was referring to the fact that Herbert was not gender inverted. He wasn't part of their deal, their cult, their society. Because there is no physical evidence that I could see that Herbert McCabe was a transgendered man. He was also an Irish priest. And at his funeral, one of his good friends said, quote, "If you don't love, you're dead. And if you do love, they kill you." Okay, what the fuck? What kind of ominous? That's so bizarre. If my friend, I just tried imagining if somebody said that about me at my funeral. It obviously sounds like he was murdered. Okay, now go Google Irene Rosenfeld, CEO of Kraft Foods, and tell me that's not a man. The more I open my eyes to this world of elite gender inversion, the more I see it. And it's hard, I know. But now there's no going back. You know, I can't go back. I can't unsee it. To me, this group, this cult, whatever you want to call it, it's very blasphemous. It's blasphemous towards natural childbirth. It's blasphemous towards natural marriage. It's blasphemous towards natural families. And if you understand the Club of Rome and what Tavistock's role in all of this, you know, these groups and the Vatican, these groups have all been working together to break down the natural family unit for over a century. And of course, now we know they got women to leave their families and get into the workforce. So children were sent into these government systems by the age of 6 months or 6 weeks, I think it is now. No, this was all by design. It was to rid the woman of her natural duties. It's blasphemous, really, on a natural level. It's blasphemous. And then we have the feminist movement, the famous feminist movement. Okay. Well, what's crazy is that all these so-called women from the feminist movement all look like men. Go Google Betty Friedan. Betty Friedan wrote The Feminine Mystique. Okay, that is a man. Looks like George Soros. Betty Friedan looks like George Soros. Okay, Gloria Steinem, the leader of the feminist movement. Go look at her now. Look at the neck. These trans people do not age well. Go look at Margaret Mead. Margaret Mead was employed by Tavistock and was also a leader in the feminist movement. Okay, Google Margaret Mead, 1972, and tell me that is not a man. Margaret Mead was also Jesuit educated and worked for the CIA before she went to work for Tavistock. Now, if you haven't seen my Tavistock video or my Club of Rome video or heard me on the Black Pill podcast the first time around, go check it out. Okay, not to mention all of the books written about transgenderism, they all look like trans. But they don't admit to being trans, you see? Like, it's all a confusing and deception on a mass scale. Okay, now go look up Camille Paglia. Camille Paglia. Okay, again, another Roman Catholic elite that attended Yale, who's part of the Tranny Club. Ann Summers, editor-in-chief of several liberal feminist magazines. Dorothy Pittman Hughes, that is a man. Kate Millett, American feminist and writer, man. You know, it's much easier for these people to hide it when they're young, but as they get older, you can really see it. Okay, now do you remember the poster that says, "We can do it"? And it features the woman with the red bandana and she's flexing. Okay, even that woman is very masculine. And I understand what they were doing here, but I feel like that could be a man in drag to me. It's like this double speak that the government does. Double speak propaganda. Now, this has been going on for a long time. Okay, now Google Ella Grasso, the governor of Connecticut. Man. Kat Taylor, CEO of Beneficial Bank, man. Anne Mulcahy, the CEO of Xerox. Go look at her. That is a man. Okay, now Google Princess Birgitta of Sweden. Okay, this person looks like William H. Macy in drag with a horrible spray tan. And another one is Queen Victoria Eugenie of Spain. This guy looks like a football player. Like, these are just some examples to get your brain and eyes adjusted to the situation we have going on. And it's much harder to spot a transgender nowadays unless you know how to. And this is something I struggled with for like a year. And I discovered this document, excuse me, that somebody made. I don't know who made this. I found it on the internet, but it's called The Elite Gender Inversion Agenda, Skeletal Markers and Other Baselines. So I've been studying this document for a while just to kind of get familiar with what's going on. And this document was last updated in February of 2022. I would give you a shout out if I knew who created this, but I don't. But I want to go through it and explain how to tell the difference between a biological male versus a biological female. And what's crazy is, like, once you can see and understand the body of male versus female, you will start to be able to see it everywhere on TV. So, like I said, this video can be very triggering, especially towards the end. So hang on. Okay, but before I get into that, there was a quote by Cher, and she once said, and there's actual video of this, says, "My mother told me to marry a rich man. And I said, Mom, I am a rich man." Okay, and of course we know that Cher's daughter, Chaz, was one of the first celebrities to come out as trans. But what's a real mind fuck is that when you look at Chaz as a child, she looks like a boy dressed as a girl. So was Chaz actually born a boy? And then Cher turned him into a girl? I don't know. Like, it's so confusing. And now she's an adult man who looks like a woman. So it's so fucking weird. Honestly, I just feel really bad for these people because there are so many of them. And Megan Fox is another weird one. Megan Fox was interviewed by Juliana Rancic. This interview goes back to 2011. Now, listen to what Megan says.
From a hot man to one of the hottest women in the business right now, Megan Fox with me now. Why do you shake your head?
Because I'm pretty sure I'm a doppelganger for Alan Alda.
Oh, God. Out of here.
I'm a tranny. I'm a man.
You do not look in the mirror and not think you're beautiful. Don't even.
No, I'm so painfully insecure. Like, I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
Okay, I'm the doppelganger of Alan Alda. I'm a tranny. I'm a man. Like, what? And of course, we know that Fox in English gematria has the value of 666. And the word fox is mentioned only one time in the Bible. And it's in Luke 13:32 when King Herod seeks to kill Jesus. And so the killer of anything good in the Bible is represented by the fox. Okay. All right. So another video that I found. This is Jason Sudeikis, who used to be married to Olivia Wilde. Now, Olivia Wilde has some very strong masculine qualities. Just go Google her. Look at her clavicle. Look at her bones. I've only seen like a couple of her movies, but she's very testosterone filled, even her personality. And she used to be married, weirdly enough, to Tal Raspoli, who is a descendant of the Roman black nobility families of the Holy Roman Empire. And Tao looks like he was born a woman. He's very feminine. He has feminine features. So they could be an elite gender inverted couple, which I actually believe they are. But so anyway, Jason Sudeikis being interviewed by Stephen Colbert, listen to what he says about his wife, Olivia, at the time.
People are kind of obsessed with you and your lovely wife, Olivia Wilde, because, like, you tweet, like, you look up you guys, and it's like a relationship goals. Jason Sudeikis, Olivia Wilde, you guys seem really cool, and you're funny, and one of you is so attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying you're a funny guy, and you're a reasonably good-looking man.
Yeah, but
she's a different species.
Oh, it's a different thing. Yeah. Bone structure, skin.
Yeah, totally. I'm surprised you can, like, breed.
Teeth, eyes color, like, literally just about everything. I would say my penis is better. I'll go on record saying I have a better penis than her.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet you $5.
You know what?
And it's almost like they're laughing, like they're mocking. Like they know, like, oh yeah, she's got a dick. Like, it's just so obvious to me. And weird. Okay, so here's another video I found. Jessica Alba. She's at some conference. And she literally tells this guy that she's a man. Here, listen.
Everybody knows that you're a very attractive woman. But tell us, what would surprise people about Jessica Alba?
I'm a man.
Okay, so even if that's a joke, like why? Like, again, I would never announce that I'm a man. It would never even like cross my mind to say that. Like, you get what I'm saying? Okay, so let's go over the differences between a biological man and a biological woman. Okay, number one, shoulders. Biological women have V-shaped shoulders and men have straight shoulders, plain and simple. And also when you look at shoulder width, if you're looking at a biological man, you could put three heads on the body, okay? And if you were looking at a woman, it's only two. So a perfect example to go look at this is Michelle Obama. You could fit three heads on that body, on those shoulders. And I found this video of Obama, and I could not figure out how to download it, but he calls Michelle Michael on accident. It's like a compilation of Obama calling Michelle Michael. Now, it's so obvious. And the fact that Joan Rivers called her a tranny and then died a week later or something. Okay, number two, the torso. Females' hips are wider than their shoulders. That's a fact. Men's shoulders are wider than the hips. So they are the complete opposite. Now go Google Jennifer Aniston or Kate Middleton in a bikini. Okay, number three, the belly button. A man's belly button is above his waistline. A woman's belly button is below the waistline. Now, this one is really tricky because now they actually have surgeries where you can augment the location of the belly button. It's very tricky. Okay. Four is the skulls. Men have like sunken in foreheads. And women, they're more prominent. So like you can look at the brow line. This one's actually kind of tricky. This one I struggled with a lot, but now I'm starting to see it. And there's a lot of examples on the internet of this. Number five are the femur bones, otherwise known as the thigh bones. Men's thigh bones go completely straight down and women's curve like a V. So women are just naturally curvy, and you can see it in like the curve of their shoulders, their clavicles, and their thighs and their hips. Men are like boxes, but there's so many women in Hollywood who do not naturally look like women. They look like straight arrow boxes. They look fake. Okay, so with this hip thing, with the femur bone, men and women naturally walk differently. And they call this the Q angle. Now, this document I'm looking at uses Miley Cyrus and Jessica Simpson as an example with their femur bones. And their femur bones are completely straight. It's fucking crazy. And it also depicts Adam Driver, Mel Gibson, Matt Damon as having the female femur bone and the curved walk. I mean, it's insane. It's insane, okay? But once you see it, it's like you can't unsee it. And there was actually one time Jessica Simpson was at some sporting event, and the announcers were catcalling her. And one of the announcers said, "Gross, she's got a man face." Okay, listen to this.
Would Jessica Simpson, if you'd played a game of touch football with her Saturday night and you were going to play another game with her after the game on Sunday, would it, as Terrell Owens has said, have distracted you so much that your performance on the field might have been bad? Would that really have distracted you?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Besides, she's got man face.
She's got what?
She's got a man face. George, looks like a truck driver. Give her a flat top and a mustache, a pair of engineer boots, and a black leather jacket. Man, you'd be scared of her.
Okay, other examples on this document claim that Angelina Jolie, Scarlett Johansson, and J-Lo all have the straight femur. So if you are using this evidence, it's very irrefutable, if you ask me. Okay, then the document goes on to analyze the pelvis, the pelvic bone. And a biological female's pelvis should fall below the waistline. Now, whoever did this, it's showing a picture of Beyonce. And it's quite astonishing to see that her hips are huge, but they are above her pelvis, her pelvic bone. Okay, another example of this is Khloe and Kim Kardashian and Kylie Jenner. And it also shows this with Iggy Azalea, Nicki Minaj, and Rihanna. Okay, then it goes on to show the true female hip line and shows pictures of John Legend, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, and Paul Rudd. Okay, I know it sounds insane because we see these people, we believe Tom Cruise is a man, Brad Pitt, Kylie Jenner, Kim Kardashian. Like these women have like gone out of their way to have these crazy surgeries and inject their asses with God knows what. But The devil is in the details. And again, I can't say this is real. I mean, it's like, as I'm going through this, like my mind is like shattering again. But anyway, based on these facts that I just listed, you know, there are other celebrities whose biological features are a complete lie in the public eye, according to this list. And I'm looking at this. Okay, it's showing Tom Hanks, Gwyneth Paltrow, Matthew McConaughey, Cameron Diaz, the Spice Girls, Harry Styles, who's now coincidentally dating Olivia Wilde. So is Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde, are they the new gender inverted couple? Yeah, maybe. Keanu Reeves. Okay, oh, and then speaking of Keanu, remember in The Matrix when he meets Trinity and he says, I thought you were a guy? And she says, most guys do. And now the guys who wrote The Matrix are both transgender. Okay, that's not a coincidence. And I think there's more meaning to that than we know. Okay, this document even has a picture of George Soros and claims George Soros was born a woman. Okay, what a fucking plot twist if one of the most evil men alive was actually born a woman. Okay, more celebrities that were born the sex you would not expect are Burt Reynolds, Sarah Jessica Parker, Jessica Biel, Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Lady Gaga. This one's a hard one for me. JFK Jr. and his wife Carolyn, Farrah Fawcett, Ryan Gosling, Mark Wahlberg, Will Smith, Jada Smith, Ariana Grande, Natalie Portman, Keira Knightley, Liam Hemsworth, Lance Armstrong, Kaya Gerber, who is Cindy Crawford's daughter, and Cindy Crawford is a trans, Leonardo DiCaprio, Donald Trump, Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, his brother Josh, Carly Kloss, Josh Kushner's wife, Kate Blanchett, Katherine Hepburn, Paul Walker, Johnny Depp. Okay, this, oh my God, the list goes on. There's like 50 more names that it's just crazy. Okay, so moving on. Number 7, the neck. The female neck is short and thin, and the male neck is long and wide, and some men have Adam's apples. Now, this might be one of the most obvious ones. Okay, now go Google Heidi Klum, Sandra Bullock, and Beyonce, and look at their necks. Number 8, dental arches. Dental arches are different in men and women, and this document shows examples specifically of Princess Di and Prince Charles, Harry and Meghan, and William and Kate. And this document is claiming that all these royal couples are gender inverted, and they're showing the dental arches. Now, if that's true, that's really fucked up, and that's mind shattering. Okay. And the last one, number 9, the finger digital ratio. In biological males, the male index finger is shorter than the male ring finger. And the opposite is true for women. So the female index finger should be longer than the ring finger in a female. Now, I made my husband do this, and I did it. And I concur that this test works. Okay. Now, this document that I'm looking at shows pictures of all the Kardashian hands. Okay, and they're all photographing their long nails and their rings, and all of them have longer index fingers, which would prove that they are all biological men. And Kim's is the most obvious. Like, it's so crazy. Okay, then this document goes into how these celebrities fake their pregnancies, which is very interesting. Now, remember when Kate Middleton wore the Rosemary Baby's dress when she gave birth to Prince Louis? Okay, for one, what a hideous dress, and why would anybody wear that? And obviously, it's a message. Now, remember the movie poster for Rosemary's Baby? It shows Mia Farrow's face. And then on top of her face, it shows that creepy vintage baby carriage silhouette. Okay, go Google Kate Middleton vintage baby carriage. She's using the same baby carriage as the one in Rosemary's Baby. It's fucking weird. I'm sure there are so many correlations between Rosemary's Baby that we haven't even discovered. And I need to go back and watch that movie, but okay, that's a side note, but I just thought that was really bizarre. But I truly believe that Kate Middleton was never pregnant. I guess that's the point I was trying to make. Okay, now go Google, quote, transgender model. It's hard. Like, they all look like women, but they're men. You know, it's literally indistinguishable nowadays. Okay, now go Google Andrea Jejic. I can't pronounce her name. Andrea Jejic. Okay, you would never know that that's a man. But that's a transgender. But when you really look close at the face, you see the long, thick neck, her straight clavicle shoulder bones, and you see that her hips are higher than the pelvis. And you can see that that's a biological man. Like, it's unreal. But she comes out and says that she's a transgender. She's one of the famous transgender models of our time. But all of the skeletal markers are there. Now compare her body with all the Victoria's Secret models. Okay, Victoria's Secret, the secret is that they're all fucking men. Okay, and then do you remember when Owen Benjamin... Oh, this is a tragedy. Owen Benjamin. God bless that guy. I feel really bad for what happened to that guy. He was blacklisted in Hollywood by Joe Rogan. Fuck Joe Rogan. For being anti-trans kids, anti-puberty blockers. Which is the most normal thing I've ever heard come out of anybody who's famous. Okay, and this guy... Owen Benjamin got blacklisted. And this played out on Joe Rogan's podcast like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe it was sooner. I can't even remember. There's been so much shit going on in the world. But this is actually one of the reasons why I started to hate Joe Rogan. And people forget the past. People forget the past in a flash. Okay. And now people are saying Joe Rogan's amazing because of all his interviews and the Spotify thing. I think he's a total shill. I get into debates with people all the time of people who defend Joe Rogan. But people forget all the really shady and fucked up things that Joe Rogan has done and said, especially to people that were supposedly his friends. Like, Joe Rogan completely humiliated Owen Benjamin. On Twitter, on social media, and on the podcast. And it was really cringy and awkward to watch the entire thing go down. And Owen went on his show and gave his stance about puberty blockers and how fucked up they were. And then kind of went off the rails. And then Rogan condescendingly staged this forum for him to come back and apologize. Like, it was just ridiculous. And Owen was like, fuck you. Like, I would have said the same thing. I'd be like, fuck you. Like, talking about anti-puberty blockers for children. Like, what don't you understand, Joe Rogan? And then Joe Rogan came out and started, like, talking against it. Like, no shit. Like, that's what Owen was talking about, like, a year before. Like, it was just so dumb. But anyway, now Owen is, I think he's living in Utah with his wife. And they have, like, 3 kids and... I don't know. He's doing the right thing now. Totally left Hollywood. But it was over this transgender stuff. Literally. And of course, I have to cross-reference all of this with the Bible. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 22:5, quote, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's like blasphemous. There are other verses in Deuteronomy basically saying that if a man cuts off his penis, he is not one with the Lord. Okay, so I translate that into sex change. Not to be confused with circumcision. That's a whole other topic. But what makes this even more confusing is that the Knights Templar, which is a Roman Catholic military order, they worship transgenderism and the Baphomet. And we know that it was the Knights Templar which started Freemasonry. These are Gnostic groups that believe that the Baphomet is the supreme god. The name Baphomet derives from the Greek words baptism of wisdom. And we know that the tarot card, the devil, depicts the Baphomet. So why does the Baphomet have a goat head? Well, the story goes that a woman used to have sex with goats for pleasure. And of course, bestiality is blasphemous and against God. So they gave Baphomet the goat head to symbolize blasphemy. And this idea came from the Greek historian Herodotus. And this ties in Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley used the image of Baphomet in his sex rituals to produce a magical child. Crowley asserted that the Baphomet was a divine, androgynous, arcane perfection. And he said, "What occurs above so reflects below, as above so below." That is where that phrase comes from. And in his book, Magic 4, he writes, "The devil does not exist. It is a false name invented by the Black Brothers to imply a unity in their ignorant muddle of dispersions. A devil who had unity would be a god. The devil is historically the god of any people that one personally dislikes. This serpent, Satan, is not the enemy of man, but he who made gods of our race, knowing good and evil. He bade know thyself and taught initiation. He is the devil of the book of Thoth, and this emblem is Baphomet. This is the hieroglyph of arcane perfection, life and love. And moreover, this letter is I, so that he is the light and is the zodiacal image of Capricornus, the leaping goat whose attribute is liberty." Okay, there's a lot of shit going on in that little phrase. That was just one paragraph of that book. I've never read any of Aleister Crowley's books, but holy shit. Okay, when you think of the word scapegoat, the definition is the person who gets blamed for the wrongdoing of others. And that's interesting to me because we all know that we know nothing. And we've been told that the Bible is the word and that everything in the Bible is 100% truth and we shouldn't question it. But how can a Catholic military order called the Knights Templar worship a transgender goathead god? Just ponder that for a minute. Now, these are just a few examples, but the Baphomet is more of a representation. It's a symbol of these Gnostic Manichaean beliefs of medieval Christians. And it makes me think of Rudolf Steiner. Like, I just finished a really interesting book that Steiner wrote called The True Knowledge of Christ. Steiner's philosophy could arguably be its own religion. And this guy gets into some really thought-provoking topics, such as how our souls have evolved over time, and that we've lived on different planets at different times, and some souls are from the sun, some of our souls are from the moon, and right now we are living on Earth, obviously. But Steiner is what you would call a pseudoscientist. Just like a Graham Hancock, a David Icke, or a Glenn Keely. Now, these men all have their own ideas and theories about how life started here, but they aren't based on anything tangibly real. They cannot be proven. They're just theories. And at the heart of all of them, it all goes back to the ideology of a superior race versus the less superior race. You know, they could all be their own religion. When you think about the conspiracy world and how all of these thoughts and ideas have evolved over time, you know, it's really the same thing as like Mormonism or Scientology. And what's interesting, Mormonism and Scientology, these are actually American religions that started in America just within the last 200 years. And now they have millions of followers. Tom Cruise is the face of Scientology. I mean, that's kind of crazy. It's a very new religion. And it's interesting to think about religion and how there are so many and how they have all evolved over time, but they all have very similar themes. Okay, so back to Steiner. Steiner claimed that it was the flood of Atlantis that created the first civilization of our era. And these were the ancient teachers of India known as the Indian Rishis, which evolved into the Vedas, which is where we get the creation of Vedic astrology and yoga. So basically, Steiner's saying that the first civilization post-Atlantis, okay? Now, these Vedas, they did not believe in tools or physical labor, but they relied solely on visionary powers. So there's a lot of this Atlantis energy coming in, very psychic, seeing auras. And the progress from this civilization led to the second civilization, which were the Persians from Gobi. Now, the Persians realized that the world around them must be active, and through their actions, they connect to the divine. So the Persians were all about physical labor and giving to the gods. And they had two gods, Ahriman and Ormuzd. Then the third civilization established the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and the Egyptian civilizations. And they inherited the science of spirit from the Indians and a body of physical knowledge from the Persians. And with this, they developed geometry, modern astrology, and farming. They created the Sphinx, which represented humans evolving from animal-like states. This was their message to the world. And then the fourth civilization is the one we call the Romans. The Romans were now evolved enough to recognize human rights and laws. This age became the world of law and order, order out of chaos. Makes sense. Then the fifth civilization is our own materialistic matrix world. Steiner calls this the time when man descends to the deepest outer world. By this, he means that humans are now evolved to the point where we can apply the powers of the spiritual world and manifest the magic in our world. And by this, he means inventions and innovations that we have today, all the things that we need to satisfy our human needs. Steiner claimed that the ancient Indians believed the world is an illusion. And as humans evolved, we went deeper and deeper to make the greatest advances in human history. But he also believes that humans are headed for true Christianity, and that Christianity, up until this point, has been fake and faked by the church. And that everything we know is the opposite. And everything that came before, like Buddha, Hermes, occult practices, all religions have been prophetic pointers to Christianity, which will raise us out of the material world or the matrix we have created, so we can ascend to the spiritual world, or what he calls the world of spirit. And we're hearing this so much now, like everything's the opposite. Like, turn on the news. Nothing that the news says is true. I believe the opposite of what they say. And then half the time, I don't even know if the opposite is true. Like, we're living in the craziest time, and everybody knows it. Even if they're not fully awake, they can feel it. And then if you're like on our level, it's just like, what the fuck? Clown world. This is like, every day is like a comedy, and scary, and sad, and weird. So the next civilization, according to Steiner, will bring more discoveries with a genuine Christianity. The thought of the matrix world in the future will be looked upon as a great contribution to our human development. Steiner claims in the sixth civilization, humans will recreate the human form, bodies will look different, humans will be genderless. Okay, Steiner said that gender was created in ancient Lemuria, And before this, genders existed for lower life forms that once lived on the moon. Steiner made it very clear that the separation of gender had to happen for our evolution. Otherwise, the human form would be configured in a completely different way. Okay, so Steiner gave this lecture in 1907. So in 1907, around the time when they were starting to cross-dress and get into this whole, like, lifestyle, this transgender stuff, Steiner's talking about it. So was Steiner part of the disinformation? Like, what the hell was Steiner talking about? Where did Steiner get his information? I mean, Steiner, go research Steiner. I mean, the guy's fascinating, but really, what is he doing here? So he's basically telling us that sometime in the near future, humans would evolve to be genderless. And that's what we are seeing now. So it's pretty amazing that, you know, he wrote this over 100 years ago. So if you believe Steiner, going genderless is just part of our human evolution on Earth to get to the next civilization. Now that's deep. That's hard to wrap your brain around. It's hard to accept that because it seems so bizarre in our matrix world that it is so tightly constrictive with social constructs in which we humans created ourselves. What's super interesting in Steiner's work is that it correlates with what Levi said on witchcraft. Now, here's a quote from The Sabbath of the Sorcerers by Levi. Below this figure, we read a frank and simple inscription, the devil. Yes, we confront here that phantom of all terrors, the dragon of all Theogonies, the Ahriman of the Persians, the Typhon of the Egyptians, the Python of the Greeks, the serpent of the Hebrews, that fantastic monster, the nightmare, the gargoyle, the great beast of the Middle Ages, the Baphomet of the Templars, the bearded idol of the alchemist, the obscene deity of the Mendes, the goat of the Sabbath. This front piece for this ritual reproduces the exact figure of the terrible Emperor of Night, with all his attributes and all his characters. Yes, in our profound conviction, the Grand Masters of the Order of Templars worship Baphomet and caused it to be worshipped by their initiates. And there existed in the past. There may be still in the present assemblies which are presided over this figure, seated on a throne, and having a flaming torch between the horns. But the adorers of this sign do not consider, as we do, that it is a representation of the devil. On the contrary, for them it is that the god of Pan, the god of our modern schools of philosophy, the god of Alexandrian theological schools, and of our own mystical Neoplatonists, the god of Lamartine and Victor Cousin, the god of Spinoza and Plato, the god of the primitive Gnostic schools, the Christ, also of the dissident priesthood. The mysteries of the Sabbath have been variously described, but they figure always in grimoires and in magical trials. The revelations made on this subject may be classified under three heads. Number one, those referring to a fantastic and imaginary Sabbath. Two, those which betray the secrets of the occult assemblies. And three, revelations of foolish criminal gatherings for their object, operations of black magic. Okay, again, I have not read anything Levi has written, but that's pretty deep too. And what I got out of that is that the transgender agenda is black magic. Black magic is everywhere. The deception is everywhere. And now the Baphomet is used by the Church of Satan. And we know that because in 2014, the Satanic Temple put up the Baphomet statue in Oklahoma. And Kim Kardashian, when she went overseas to entertain that black nobility guy for some elite event, She wore a dress that had the Knights Templar logo on it. And, you know, I watch Umizoomi. It's a show on Prime with my sons. And they have the Knights Templar logo all over that show. Like, it's so unnecessary. But I do think that they want you to know who's at the very top. And I believe that it's the Knights Templar and the Freemasons. And we do know that the Baphomet means different things to different people, like all gods do. And I stumbled upon this guy by the name of Glenn Keeley. Now, you probably are familiar with Alan Watt. Now, Glenn Keeley claimed that Alan Watt allegedly stole all of his research and monetized off of Glenn Keeley and plagiarized most of his stuff. So Glenn Keeley was a Canadian conspiracy theorist and a whistleblower, and he was really big in the 90s, right when the internet was getting bigger. And Glenn Keeley claimed that he decoded Freemasonry. He claimed that he could read the ciphers by using the Desdemona font. Now, what's weird is that Desdemona was the character in Shakespeare's Othello, and the name means misery and wretchedness. And in the story, she is a beautiful woman wrongly accused of adultery by her husband. Now, Keeley claimed that Desdemona is a three-tiered communication system that the Freemasons use to communicate. And interestingly enough, he mentions the Super Bowl. He said that these images and symbols can be found in the Freemason Encyclopedia, the King James Bible, and in the works of Shakespeare. So he claimed that through his 15-year research and fallout with the Canadian government, he realized that the real war is against women. Now, when I discovered this, this is what really shattered my brain. And I don't know if it's true or not, but anyway. Okay, so Keeley said that the true conspiracy is that the Freemasons hate women and that the real New World Order is to destroy the woman and rid her off the planet. He claims that the true work of the elites are to re-engineer men to be able to mass produce themselves without the help of the natural woman. These ancient Freemasons who call themselves bachelor priests, which are basically men who wear dresses and aprons, set out to make all future men androgynous, or in other words, bisexual worker bees. Their words. When Masons finally have their way, all of the original people, all women, all original women, will be gone, eliminated from the planet. And they label these men who support women as being eliminated as well. And he went on to say that they have been attacking and destroying women for centuries and tricking them into not wanting to stay home and raise their children as natural mothers and natural planners, which on the cosmic scale destroys their credibility as a woman. So Keeley sees it as if women are able to be duped, like we have been, then these Freemasons, these men truly believe that if women can't see through it, then they should be eliminated. Like, they're too stupid. Like, we are too dense. We're too dumb. And he says that the Bible is a big part of it, and that the word Bible is actually a play on words for buy bull, as in buy bullshit. He said the word gospel is a play on words for go spell, as in cast a spell. And that women have been conditioned into buying the idea of abortion, because nothing pleases Baphomet more than to see a woman kill her own child. And because women have succumbed to these ideas, they are not worthy of living, as they don't value life, and they must be eliminated from the world. So, okay, I'm not going to lie, when I read the work of Glenn Keeley, I was freaking out. I literally had an existential crisis over this. This is what I got really depressed about, because I thought, if this is true, like learning, like I knew that shit was fucked up and there was all these agendas, but I did not for one minute think that it could be about women specifically. And it was honestly just too overwhelming for me to accept this. It was hard as a woman to think that this could be a possibility and that the New World Order could actually be about getting rid of women. And it makes sense, like with the transgender stuff, like programming men to be attracted to men. And with human cloning and artificial insemination, and for men being able to remove a rib from their body so they could, you know, put a fake embryo in there and have a baby. Like, these things are actually happening. So learning about this, it was not very far-fetched. And so just like any topic, you know, there are many conspiracies and ideas spinning around, and we really just don't know. You know, you can believe that the trans agenda is helping to evolve humanity, like Steiner says, or you can believe that the trans agenda is trying to eliminate women off the planet. All we know is that this is extremely complicated, emotional, and that it's happening. Now, there's a book called A World Without Women by David Noble. And in the book, he examines how women have very little contributions to science on the global scale and proceeds to trace the absence of women for historical purposes in a deep-rooted legacy of the male-dominated Western religious community. Now, he goes into detail about how some periods of time women gained intellectual freedom, but then would spiral down, like the feminist movement. So it's like women would kind of get their shit together and then fall again. Now, he has written this book about how women have kind of gone up and down and up and down. And because of the decline of the natural woman, the world is working towards the evolution of artificial insemination and reproduction in an artificial womb or test tube. And now this has been going on for a long time. And again, like I said, it ties in human cloning and men being able to have children. And this connects with what Glenn Keeley was talking about. And Keeley also talked about this being in the Bible, the artificial womb. He claims that the Freemasons know that the character in the Bible called Tubal Cain was a code for test tube baby. This was one of the ciphers, okay? And that Tubal Cain was born and he was exceedingly stronger than any man who came before him. And it also ties into the story of the Virgin Mary. You know, she was artificially inseminated or a surrogate mother carrying the baby Jesus. You know, and have you ever wondered why so many celebrities use surrogates? You know, these are the people pushing our culture. This is culture rot. They're making surrogacy cool, and it's not natural. There are many risks associated with surrogacy, which can actually alter the DNA of the baby. And what I found really crazy is that this can include intersex issues, like hermaphrodites. So if you're using a surrogate, your baby could come out a hermaphrodite. So like, okay, this is where my mind shatters, okay? There has also been research published that people are born gay with hormone imbalances, and this happens during conception with a surrogate. Okay, so the term hermaphrodite derives from Hermes and Aphrodite in Greek mythology, and the story sounds like genetic engineering, which caused an intersex baby. And when you take this angle, it sounds like we're all just part of some breeding experiment. And this ties back to Glenn Keeley. And also the people who go down the Sumerian rabbit hole. Like, if you go down the Sumerians rabbit hole far enough, it all goes back to breeding programs. And now, Glenn Keeley said this in a bizarre interview, and I remember I wrote it down because I thought it was so bizarre, but this is what Glenn Keeley said. Quote, "Your parents did not choose to have you. You are part of a human breeding program conducted by the Canadian government." End quote. Okay, now weirdly enough, this quote ties into the Plus Ultra breeding program, which has its roots in Canada. So now I'm connecting all this stuff, okay? Some of you may remember I interviewed a woman named Marie Lynn, who claimed to be the biological daughter of Hugh Hefner. Now, she said she was part of the Plus Ultra breeding program that is still happening today, and it's being conducted in Canada. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. But it's really amazing what hormones and surgery and makeup can do nowadays. Okay, now go Google male to female transition before and after. It's unbelievable. So it's really not that far-fetched to think that the elite who have access to the best doctors and have the time and money, you know, could pull this off, especially when you start these children very young. And it's not just celebrities and politicians. I mean, go back and Google all the president's wives. They all look like men. And why wouldn't they be? They're the elite. Like Melania, Michelle Obama, Barbara Bush. Okay, now go look up Woodrow Wilson's daughter, Margaret. And then look up Anna Roosevelt. Then Google Lou Hoover, Florence Harding. These people look like men. All the president's wives look like men. And then we have the trans sports stuff. Like, I've been saying for years that Serena and Venus Williams were born men. And Tim would get so mad at me every time I would say this. Like, he's like, no, they're just their DNA. And I'm like, I don't know. Kind of look like dudes. Now, I've learned I have to, like, tread lightly on this topic. And this is something I cannot, like I said, I don't talk to anybody about this because it's, like, mind-shattering. But what's weird about the trans stuff is that now we have legislation seeping into our country that allows transgenders to use any bathroom they want, not to mention other subcultures of people who identify as vampires, zombies, and furries. Okay, I have a cousin who's a teacher in Iowa. She actually teaches at the high school that I went to. And she told me that this freshman, this 14-year-old at the high school, identifies as a cat. And the principal allowed her to sit in a litter box during class. She identifies as a cat. Okay, so this story contradicts what Steiner was saying. So Steiner was saying we have to go through all this weird stuff to evolve, but I think we are devolving. Like, you've got kids acting like cats, zombies. To me, this is not evolution. This is, like, fucking sad. So we are just in a slippery slope of degradation, if you ask me. And I will never forget the first time I saw Caitlyn Jenner on that magazine cover. I looked at that image in that cream teddy or lingerie, whatever she was wearing, and my brain literally could not process it. And I would like to know if anybody else out there, when they saw that magazine cover with Caitlyn Jenner, went through the same thing I did, or it was just like, my brain was like literally malfunctioning. Like, what am I looking at? It was like, who is that? Like, what is that? And then I learned it was Bruce Jenner. And then I learned that Bruce Jenner went to Sandy Hook. That's crazy. You know, so I would describe my upbringing or coming of age as being forced to look at these pictures of these supermodels and actresses on magazines and in movies and on TV. And from the time I was 13, probably even younger, like I just felt so self-conscious comparing myself to these so-called women. You know, these supermodels are typically 5'9 and taller. You know, I never grew past 5'2. I'm super short. I'm super curvy. I have big boobs. And nobody on TV looked like me. And in college, most everyone that I knew had eating disorders or they were addicted to laxatives. You know, I was exercising myself to death, smoking cigarettes. You know, this is like the late 90s, early 2000s. And times were just different then. But in conclusion, you know, it feels like gender inversion and this entire trans agenda is just very confusing and detrimental to the people that are actually going through this. You know, I've heard stories of people who have transitioned and they commit suicide. Like it's too much. So why is Hollywood glamorizing this tragedy? Because it is tragedy. It's tragic. This is like mental. These people need help. And it's extremely depressing. And it doesn't seem like this transgender agenda is something we should be celebrating or being excited about. It's fucking crazy. Okay, now go Google Mary Tyler Moore, Cloris Leachman, Bea Arthur, and Jane Russell in old age. And then Google female impersonator. There is no difference. So for all the women out there who still get down on themselves for not being able to look like all the quote women you see on magazines and movies, just remember that they are probably all men. And you could never attain that anyway. And that's all for me today. Thank you so much for listening to me rant. I hope you learned something, and I will see you very soon. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.